And so let's go. Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3. I am going to read verses 5 through 10, but we're really going to focus on verses 9 and 10. And then we're going to go in a few moments to another passage in 1 Timothy. So stay engaged. Let's go. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. Some translations say acknowledge him. And he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Verses 9 and 10 is where we're going to launch from. Read those again. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruit of all your crops, and then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Real fast, let's go to 1 Timothy. Let's just go ahead and go there real fast. 1 Timothy. I'm saying it so many times so I can tell myself where I'm going. 1 Timothy, I think chapter number 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, but keep your hand and keep a marker also in Proverbs because we're going to go back and forth between these two verses. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, and then we want to look at verse number 10. Well, I'm gonna add verse number 9 just because it's the word of God. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Amen, amen. Amen. Now, so let's pray. Father, thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We love you now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Again, this time is interactive, and we're asking you to engage, so please share any comments, any questions you have. You can also give us some of the emojis. Give us a thumbs up. Give us a shout out, however God is speaking to you at this moment. But don't disengage and don't disconnect. We started this series last week entitled Figuring Things Out, because during this time of isolation, during this time of quarantine, one of the things that's paramount, I think, for many of us, if not all of us, is that with some of the time that's on our hands that we have right now, because we're restricted in our coming, in our going, in our regular schedule, is that we have time to think. And many people are trying to figure out life during this season. And so this is the second message in a six-week series entitled Figure Things Out. And last week we talked about figuring out my faith. And we used Proverbs 3:5 through 7 to talk about the first thing I really need to be figuring out during this time is really my faith. Not that my faith is absent, but I need to be figuring out how to use my faith so that I can win now. Remember, just a quick review, remember, a proverb is a wise or an insightful truth that's come into my life to give me an advantage, to give me leverage. So when I hear a proverb, it is something Solomon is sharing, who was the wisest man on earth outside of Jesus. He is giving me a truth that allows me to have an advantage or leverage over those who may be at a disadvantage in the same circumstances that I find myself in. I have the advantage because of this truth that I have heard and I'm applying to my life. And in this season, I believe God still wants to give us truths that will cause us to thrive in spite of fear, in spite of doubt, in spite of discouragement, in spite of uncertainty. You can win now. And the first thing I need to figure out is my faith. That was last week. You can get on our podcast, hear that message again. And today we're going to focus on figuring out our finances. Now, let me say this real fast before we get into this message. I share this with great sensitivity to the current situation. I know there are many who are furloughed from their jobs. There are many who have to file for unemployment. There are many right now that are under great financial stress and having to choose between work and their health. So I am not coming to share a message from the platform of insensitivity to the time.
That's right.
I'm coming because as a pastor, I also have the responsibility to make sure every person is equipped with the tools and the truths that are needed to survive no matter the circumstances and the conditions. And one of those tools happened to be finances.
That's right.
It happens to be, how do I harness my finances? How do I maximize my finances? How do I synchronize and synergize them in such a way that in this season, this current circumstance, pandemic moment, that I can still thrive and be in position to see God's best? So please understand, we're not insensitive to this time. Right. We're coming from the sense of we have a responsibility to also make sure you are equipped to thrive during this time.
Right, and I agree with that. Mm-hmm. And just want to point out the fact that it's during these times when the enemy tries to bring in a spirit of fear.
Yes.
You know, and that fear can cause us to make irrational moves. And what we don't want to do is allow fear to have a root in this particular area, the area of our finances, that we begin to move irrationally, that we begin to take things out of the Lord's hands and pull them back into ours. And so that's why I believe God has placed this on our heart to deal with right now. So let's go ahead.
Here's the preacher, other side of the preacher part. Don't check out just because we're talking about money. Stay engaged. Don't check out just because we're talking about money. We're not going to take an offering at the end. We're not. I'm just joking. we're not taking the offering at the end. Now watch this. I believe, and I'm showing you how relative this message really is, really. Because this pandemic situation also have shown us if we're prepared financially.
Oh yeah.
You know, it has exposed our level of financial security as it relates to our decision making, our attitude, that if something happened, do we have an emergency fund? Could we make it for a week, 2 weeks, or a month or so? So this pandemic situation has become a good opportunity for us to see, really, man, how am I handling finances? How am I thinking about finances?
Right.
And so it's become a great opportunity for you and I to figure out our finances. And again, everything that we're going to share for these next 5 weeks, we're not going to talk about money for the next 5 weeks. We're talking about the finances today. Next week, I'm saying now, next week, we're going to talk about figuring out my fight. Next week, oh, God, I just feel it. Next week.
You got to fight for the fight.
You got to fight for the fight. Next week, oh, yeah, it's on next week. So next week is figuring out my fight. That's already the trailer. That ain't even a trailer. That's a spoiler. Next week's message is figuring out my fight. But today, we're going to do a figure my finances. And even as we move forward, figuring out my fight and figuring out my future and figuring out my family and friendships and all those things, everything starts, though, with the foundation of faith. So every message in every area is going to point us back to faith, and finances is not excluded. It's taking us back to our foundation and our faith in God, his promises to us, for us, and about us. So everything is going to point us back to our faith in God. So here we are. I'm just going to give you four practical ways during this time as you and I talk about figuring out our finances, how to figure out our finances. Yes, I am looking at how many people are live, and we lost a couple of people. Don't check out because we're talking about finances. That is a tool. Here we go. Number one, watch this. Cultivate a biblical perspective about finances. Mm-hmm. Cultivate a biblical perspective about finances. Cultivate a biblical perspective about finances. Because in Proverbs, he tells us, honor the Lord with your wealth, the first fruits of all your crops. If you're taking notes, I want you to circle the word honor, because watch this. I didn't know this until I started, you know, the preparation part for this message. You see words and you can take them for granted. But when it says honor, it translates heavy.
Okay.
Heavy.
Okay.
Heavy. What do you mean heavy? He is talking about, I want you to respect and respond to God in proportion to the size of his influence in your life.
Okay.
Because you think about heavy, you think about weight. And to honor someone, we honor people based upon the level of size of influence to their position, to their authority that we have. That's what it is. It's heavy. It's like, how heavy is God in your life? How weighty is God's presence and influence in your life?
Right.
That's honor. Honor deals with, man, his influence is so great in my life. It is so impactful in my life That becomes how honor is played out. And he says, honor the Lord with your wealth, the first fruit of all your crops. So if you're taking notes, circle honor and first. Honor and first. Honor and first. Because the biblical perspective is that when it comes to me figuring out my finances, I want to please God first.
Right.
I want to please God first. Here's a statement I'm going to say, and I believe you're going to understand and get it. Watch this. Honor God first, because God is never honored by being second to anyone or anything in our lives. God is never honored by being second to anything or anyone in our lives. And a biblical perspective about finances is that my finances, my tithes and my offering, when I 10% of my income, any and all of my income, I return to the Lord as an expression of worship, as an expression of obedience, and as an expression of gratitude and expectation. So now my worship doesn't stop with a song, but it's also shown through my giving.
Okay.
And the biblical perspective is this right here. My finances is another opportunity for me to worship God. So, but I got to cultivate a biblical perspective. And the biblical perspective says how I handle finances is a way that I show God how much I honor him or dishonor him. But if I'm going to figure out my finances in such a way that God's best can come through my financial life, then I got to make sure I'm committed to honoring God first.
Right. And even as the scripture says that where our heart is, that's where our treasure will be. That's a good place for us to take a moment during this time and say, Lord, you know what? Check my heart. Studies will tell us that we can look at our checkbook and see, you know, where is our heart for real? Where are we? You know, your checking account, you can look online. But where, Lord, where am I giving my treasure? Where am I placing my treasure so I can see truly where my heart is?
Yes.
Because I may think that I'm somewhere and I'm not.
Yes.
And so this is a good time for us to lay our lives against the measure of God's word and say, Lord, am I living truly according to what your word says? Or do I have more lip service than I have action service? And so as we talk about cultivating a biblical perspective of finances, we're saying, you know what, let's take everything that everyone else's opinion, because you have opinion of friends, family, opinion of culture, take everybody else's opinion and put them aside and say, Lord, I want your opinion, the opinion that came out of your word, that comes out of your word, that is alive and that is still true. And I want you to lay that up against my life, God. And whatever's not in alignment, Lord, I'm asking you by your grace and in your love to align me, especially in the area of our finances.
Yes, because again, the perspective matters. Perspective, how I see it. And I can see finances as an area that is just all about me and God is cut off from it. Or I can see finances through the lens of God has my whole life, and my whole life was created to be an expression and an extension of worship. So even though I worship, yes, with the song, I worship through my giving, my tithes and my offering.
Right.
And that's a biblical perspective. And most people have reduced a biblical perspective only to what they call spiritual things. So it's only praying and it's only going to church.
Right.
But a biblical perspective is seeing every area of your life through the lens of how do I please God? How can I honor God? How can I glorify God? So even while you're figuring out your finances during this time, which means I'm trying to please God first, it's all about making sure I see my finances through the lens of this is an opportunity to worship God. This is an opportunity to honor God. This is an opportunity to love God.
Right, right. And I know we're gonna get a little bit further into the message talking about allowing the Lord to use us as a tool to give.
Yeah.
And beyond just giving our tithes and offering, but are we consuming? Are we just eating up, you know, what's left? Or are we actually saying, God, you can use my life. You can use what you give me to give others,
yes,
to assist with those that are in need. So let's keep going.
All right. And point number two, I'm going to take from Paul's writing to Timothy. Number two is this. Eliminate thinking it's all about money. Eliminate thinking it's all about money. Number one is I got to cultivate a biblical perspective about finances. Number two, while I'm figuring out my, in this season, figuring out my money, figuring out my finances, I got to eliminate thinking it's all about money. Okay. Many people, because you hear many people say, you know, money is the root of all evil. Money is the root of all evil. And they're like, no, that's not what the verse says. That's not what the scripture says. Because a key, one word changes everything.
Right.
One word changes everything. Paul says the love of money is the root of all evil. So when I start looking at how do I figure out my finances in this season, I got to make sure I eliminate this thinking that says, man, if I just had more money,
right,
that will solve everything. And I understand it, because if you're tight, you know, financially, a job may not pay enough. And you say, I need a job that pays more. I'm not, please understand, we're not talking about that in the context of you just taking a job that doesn't offer you any type of compensation to live. That's not the path we're talking on. We're talking about that heart condition that believes the more money I have, the happier I would be. And he says, the love of money is the root of all evil. And he was saying, when you and I look at our lives, what we can easily look at and see is this right here, that when it comes to some of our misery, some of our frustration, some of our disappointment, it's because we have an unhealthy attachment to money. We have an emotional attachment to money that goes far beyond the boundary marker that God has set in relations to how we should love God compared to how we should love things and how we should love other people. For the love of money is the root of all evil. If you had more money, that don't necessarily mean you're going to be happier.
Okay.
And sometimes we have post-dated our happiness when I make more money. And he says, no, it's not all about the money. It's a love issue. So as you're figuring out finances, it's not really a money issue. It's a love issue. And here's what I wrote down in my notes. And I'm just putting my head down to show you, to read this and make sure I quote myself. I said, everybody needs money, but not everybody loves money.
Okay.
Those are two different things.
Okay.
All of us know we need money to pay T-Mobile, to pay Xfinity, to pay Kroger, to pay Publix. All of us need money, but not all of us love money. Well, what's the difference, Pastor Roy? One recognizes that money is an instrument, a tool, and a resource.
Right, right.
Everybody needs money to pay bills, but everybody don't love money. Why don't you love money? Because I don't see money as a source.
Okay.
I don't see it as a source. I see it as a resource.
Good.
And that protects me from placing my happiness only on my financial status.
That's good.
So, because the preceding verses that Paul writes in Timothy in this same passage, it says godliness with contentment is great gain.
That's good.
So I'm not moved by my salary going up, or God forbid it goes down or whatever. I have to eliminate thinking it's all about money, because watch this. It's my love for him that determines my needs being met by him.
Yeah. So see, it's a faith.
It goes back to faith again. It goes back to our faith again. And many times we think, man, if I just get more money and do this, then I'll be good. And God says, no, start with love. Start with your love walk with me,
right,
which is an expression of faith. Then out of your love for me, your needs get met by me. Mm. But if you think just more money is going to solve it, then now I open myself up for harmful ways and harmful desires, compromising my character, misrepresenting the name of Christ, because the love of money, the emotional, inordinate, unhealthy attachment and desire to get money, not even talking about being rich, but just to get money.
Right.
For example, if the job, I know I need money, and this job is going to pay me X amount of money. And so now, to get more money, I'm going to exaggerate my resume.
Okay.
See, so that the love of money has now caused me to not be truthful.
That's good. You know, as we talk about this, about recognizing it's not about money, mm-hmm, it reminds me of Philippians. You know, Philippians right around 11:13, where Paul talks about how he's learned to be content no matter what the state he finds himself in. And he's writing this while he's in prison.
Yes.
And it's just that idea that when we separate our faith in money and put it in God, the God who is our source, the God who provides for us and promised to provide, then our peace, our heart can meet God's faithfulness. Our peace meets God's faithfulness.
Yes.
Our faith can come in agreement with God's faithfulness, and money can be in its rightful perspective,
yes,
and rightful place in,
yes,
our lives.
Yes, yes. Our faith would meet his faithfulness, because you and I would not know his faithfulness until we get out on the limb of faith.
That's good.
So, yeah, you know, so this week we had a Zoom call with our elders and with our directors. So
this week.
This week. So Zoom calls Monday night, 8:00, and PK is in my office with me. We're doing this. She came down and blessed me by being in the office with me while we're doing the Zoom call. So we got the elders and we got the directors all on the screen. We're looking at them, and we started at 8:00. Well, we got 3 kids, and so at 8:05, you know, we hear the sound of like kids running water. We're like, okay, they're taking their baths now, so that's good. And so we go on with the call. But that sound of running water never stops, never stops. And so I'm just thinking, you know, they're taking long baths. You know, I'm just thinking they're taking long showers tonight. So about 9:00, PK says, "Hun, what's the sound? I like the kids taking baths." And on the side of one part of my office is connected to a little storage area where we have water heater, AC units and different stuff. And she goes over there, open it up. And water has flooded, 2 inches of water, and is now coming into the office. The carpets are now soaked. But prior to that, and so long story short, it flooded the basement. We done spent 4 nights at the Embassy Suites while they're getting the basement start. But prior to that, we hear the sound 8:00. By 8:10, the Lord spoke to my heart and laid somebody on my heart and said, I want you to send them some money. Now, I don't know about the flood. I don't know about the hot water heater. And I'm just like, okay, Lord, lay somebody on my heart. And I was like, okay, God, you know, no problem, we'll do it. Now, I'm thinking everything is fine. I'm thinking like, okay, good. I don't know about the hot water heater now. And so I'm like, fine, okay, good, we'll do it. And then the hot water heater situation, 50 minutes later, and then, of course, I'm just like, for real, God? And I'm sharing that to say, you start talking about faith. It's like, no, we can't give. We got to pay. We got to get a hot water heater. We got to get this replaced. But when you go out on the faithfulness of God by trusting him and recognizing it's really not about the money.
Right.
It's about, do I believe God is going to take care of me in return?
Right.
And that is why it's not always about the money.
Amen.
All right, let's go. Let's pick up the pace some and keep going. All right, number three. Watch this. Stand with Paul's words to Timothy. He says this. He says, some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Incorporate wise counsel. Let me elaborate on this point because I felt it necessary to insert this. When I have an unhealthy attachment with money, it leads me to make decisions that are harmful to me.
That's good.
When I have a good or bad in the context of some of the decisions, when I have an unhealthy attachment, I think I'm making a good decision, or I may even just know it's a bad decision. But when money has an unhealthy influence, Paul says the result is going to be self-inflicted wounds. They have pierced themselves with many griefs. And there are a multitude of ways we can look at this verse. But the biggest thing I want to point us back to is that Paul is saying, you know what? Man, when that heart ain't right as it relates to finances and we're not figuring out finances in a way to glorify God, you're so eager, it pulls you away from trusting God. You don't walk with God like you should because you're so driven by the need to money. We're so driven by, I got to make money. I got to make mine. I got to make a dollar. And watch this. Oftentimes, deception starts with good intentions.
That's true.
Now, I need some emojis, some claps, some smiles right there. Because if y'all know we're in here, I would tell you, I'm teaching. Better than how you looking. Deception starts with good intentions. What do you mean deception starts with good intentions? Man, I'm just working 2 jobs to get out of debt. good intentions. Then you look up 3 years from now because you started liking to have the excess money. There is no sense of intimacy with God like it used to be. So you have financial stability, whatever that means, or financial comfort, but now you're spiritually malnourished. And if you go back 2 years, you could say, man, when did you start getting weak in your faith in God?
Right.
Man, when I started working two jobs. Now, are we saying don't get out of debt? Of course not.
Right.
We know what the Bible says, don't be in debt. We got it. We understand that. What we're saying is, if you know that making sound financial decisions is not easy for you, incorporate wise counsel. Get some trusted voices of maturity and truth to help you make decisions that keep you grounded in trusting God and not relying on yourself.
Right, right. And I think so much of just this moment in time is a heart check.
Yes.
And I know for me, when we were just kind of going through this and you know, praying through this message, incorporating wise counsel, the word pride came up.
Mm-hmm.
And just that whole idea of it's a pride issue. Mm-hmm. Crystal, are you willing to trust your heart, trust God with your heart in other people?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
With your finances in other people.
Mm-hmm.
And really just the two words that I just want to bring to you as it's brought to me, and that is try again.
Yes.
Trust again.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Because we don't want pride to win.
Yes.
So
we
want to incorporate wise counsel and not be too prideful to get help.
Or too hurtful.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Or don't be too prideful and don't be too hurtful. I made a bad decision. It's cost me. I'm
right.
suffering the consequences of it now. And you're hurting.
Right.
And watch this. You're trying to stop the bleeding, but you're too hurt to even see how to stop the bleeding. Incorporate wise counsel, because if you're hurting, you're not going to help yourself by trying to look at things, look at your finances, and figure out through the lens of your own self-hemorrhaging. Bring in wise counsel. We have wise counsels that help us specifically with the financial areas, not only in our personal lives, but also with leading DLC. We have wise, trusted counsels. Because why? The whole goal, guys, ladies and gentlemen, the whole goal is to be fit for life.
Right, right.
That's all with 2020 year. And to be fit, you need a trainer. Bryce, Kyle, Chelsea, Dina, you need a trainer to get, you, well, I'm going to get it. Sure, what, you know, I can go, I can find me a little YouTube that says, you know, here's how to get shape. But if there's someone that is trusted, that is experienced, that's called in that area, and I may not like how Bryce try to stretch me and hurt me. You may not like how Dina tries to have your cardio heart beating at a race at you a pace you think you're going to die or whatever. But at the end of the day, you're fit to thrive.
Right.
Incorporate wise counsel.
Amen.
Incorporate wise counsel. Again, trusted voices, mature voices.
Right.
That will give you the truth, that will keep you dependent on God. Because here's the truth, and I'm going to give you this last one. Any voice that gives you counsel that pulls you away from trusting God is not godly counsel.
Okay.
Any voice that pulls you away from trusting God isn't good counsel. Because at the end of the day, remember, you're trying to figure things out, and it starts with your faith in God.
Amen.
Amen. This last one, will be done. Celebrate that I can't beat God giving. Celebrate that I can't beat God giving.
The best one.
Celebrate that. What are you trying to say about the other points?
The other points. The other points are awesome too, sir.
What are you trying to say about the other point? excuse us. What are you trying to say?
Celebrate that we can't beat God giving. Yes.
Celebrate that. Celebrate. Y'all, this is what you get when you come to DLC. We just be ourselves. Celebrate that I can't be God-given, because I'm going back now to Solomon's words when he says, because you honor the Lord with your finances, the Lord will cause your barns to be filled and your vats to overflow. Now, I want to make sure I'm clear with this. This is not about giving to get.
Okay.
This is not about trying to manipulate God. This is not about trying to be gimmicky. Lord knows, I don't believe God is pleased with some of the gimmicks and stuff we do in church.
Right.
You can't mock God. You can't manipulate God. We're talking about a heart area. What God does with this verse, he is saying, I want to give you cause to rejoice. I want to give you a reason to rejoice. And something that stood out to me when I looked at this passage, I says, God doesn't even ask me to give exceedingly.
Okay.
He's only saying give expectantly. He would do the exceedingly part.
Okay.
You give expectantly, he'll bless us exceedingly.
That's good. That is good.
Say that again. That was good. See, because notice, he says, honor me, and then I'm going to call through your, by making me first.
Right.
As you figure out your finances.
Right.
And then in the end, I'm going to call your vats, your barns. That's the agricultural language in those days. You know, they store the crops and the harvest. So he says, honor me first with your finances, and I'm going to cause there to be overflow in your checking account, 401k, your savings account, what's the other one? Come on, Brett, help me out. Brett Chestnut, financial advisor, text it in, your Roth account, all those various other financial avenues. He said, I'm going to cause there to be overflow there. Again, not to manipulate God by giving.
Right.
He's simply saying, I want you to know, as the old folks say, you really can't beat me giving. If you honor me, I'm going to cause there to be an exceedingly great return on the little you gave me because you dare to honor me with your giving. So we're not trying to mock God. It is simply, God, when I honor you, you honor me way beyond anything I can imagine.
Right.
Because here's the other part of the testimony about our basement. We gave a certain amount in obedience to God. And then Crystal was sharing with someone about everything that we're encountering, and she just was talking casually to one of her, you know, not her blood sisters, but one of just like a real sister in life, just happened not to be a blood sister to her sister in Christ. And the person said, what's your Cash App? I just want to send y'all some money.
Yeah.
And sent money and sent us way more than what we gave.
Right.
When we obeyed God right before the water heater went out, and I'm just like, God, it was an immediate change. And I can't help but rejoice to know that, man, when I honor God, as I'm figuring out my finances, God is going to take care of me. And then I'm going to let you chime in, but I'm going to watch this. When you celebrate the God, I can't beat God giving, it's because I'm not losing anything.
Right.
I'm not losing. And what I'm really going to start gaining, not money in return that if I give 10, God's going to give me 100. What I start gaining is more confidence that, God, you're my provider. You're my provider. You are my provider.
That's
so every time I'm sorry, guys. I still write a tithe check at DLC. So when I write a tithe check for our family, I'm not losing. Every time I do it, God blesses us in return. I keep gaining the remembrance and the revelation. God, you really are my source. You really are my source. You really are my source. And I gain more confidence and more strength so that when God asks me to give at inopportune times, like right before the hot water heater went out, or even if God lays on your heart during this time, hey, I want you to bless somebody else. Give this person $5 to go to Starbucks. Give this person $10 to go get some toilet paper that's in need, or hand sanitizer, that you won't say, oh my God, I can't do that because things are tight. But God says, no, you do it because you're honoring me. I'm going to make sure you're taken care of. We did something small as trusting God and giving money here in Atlanta, and from a whole nother state, somebody else blessed us.
That is it. That's it. And it really is. It's a trust factor.
Yes.
And it's a heart factor. It's a heart question. Just in, are we trusting God? And that's why I love the Lord, because it's during these times that he would even have us. I'm saying I love him for even having us talk about finances right now, because it's during these times when the voices around us would tell us things like, you've got to hoard, you've got to hold on. You know, everybody's buying all the toilet paper, bought all the hand sanitizer, that, you know, that we need to hoard. But but the kingdom of God doesn't work like that. The kingdom of God works in giving.
Yes.
And then out of that, out of us giving as an act of trust in God, he begins to show us his faithfulness.
Yes.
But there is one thing I do have to bring up, because I was looking at this section and this point on celebrating that I can't beat God giving. And I don't want us to pass over the word celebrate.
Yes.
There is something about praising God before we see the final outcome.
Come on, girl.
That speaks to our faith. And I was thinking about how, it's like the Lord told me about in Genesis 1. Remember how when God was creating the universe, mm-hmm. and it says that he created something. So he creates, you know, mm-hmm. The light, or he creates the land. But then it says that he pauses, and he says that it is good.
Yes.
And then during this time, we can't forget, whether it be in our finances or be in our health, that we pause
yes.
in the moment of our day, and
yes.
we say, God, it is good, and I celebrate you.
Yes.
I celebrate you that I have the means and the provisions that I need for this moment. Mm-hmm. I celebrate you, Lord, that I have health in this moment. Or, you know, our other option is to worry.
Yes.
Our other option is to be in fear.
Yes.
But as children of God,
yes.
we know that he is our provider. Yes. It's either God's plans for us are good and not for evil, or they're not. And
yes.
we know that his word is true, and that his plans for us are good and not for evil. And so we don't want to miss that word, you know, that we are to celebrate knowing that God has us. He has you in this time. I know, and no matter what your job is saying, whether your company is opening back up and telling mm-hmm. you to come back and you're concerned health-wise, or whether your company is still closed and you're concerned financially, we want to encourage you this morning that you can celebrate now because your Lord has you.
Yes.
This time hasn't caught him off guard or by surprise.
Yes, you celebrate. And someone made a comment about teaching your kids this also. Mm-hmm. Teaching your kids. Now, I think as parents, we unconsciously and unintentionally show our kids, communicate to our kids that, like, our job is our provider.
Yeah.
So I got to go to work so I can pay some bills. And I understand it, but it's reminding your kids, look, you know, God is our source. And we had a moment with our family, with our three kids. I think it was maybe about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And I was just reminding our kids that, look, as you pray and talk to God, we're going to believe God to take care of us. And I just reminded, I think I was talking with the boys especially, reminding them that, look, it is God who provides for you guys to do extracurricular activities,
That's right.
The
right.
football and the track, and to do all these things. It is God who's
right.
providing,
right.
You know, and they may not fully grasp, well, what do you mean God is providing? Like, God is providing. Daddy prays. Daddy believes God. Daddy believes God to have opportunities to use his gifts, his talent, and his resources
right.
so that there would be provisions in his house for you to do things. So it's not just get up and go to work. It's not the job that's our provider. It is God.
That's
and
right.
so teach that's your right. kids that God is our source. So this becomes a great opportunity during this time, parents, to also remind your kids, God is our source. God is our provider.
That's
you
it.
Can't go to your job. You may be furloughed. You know what I found also? And I'm going on a little rabbit trail. I found out that kids sometimes are purer in their faith than adults mm-hmm. because they haven't had the depth of hurt and disappointment and reason and rationale that we bring to the table, that sometimes a child in the innocence of their heart can believe quicker.
Right.
So this is a good opportunity, parents, for you to look to your children and say, hey, we believe God, and let the child pray, because the child is too innocent to not think that that God won't come through.
Right.
They are at the point, you can't tell them that the impossible is impossible. They just believe God.
That's right.
So
that's
lean
right.
into the children during this time, but teach them.
That's right.
Man, celebrate. That is good. Celebrate. I say right now, right where you are, whatever you're doing, take
Hallelujah.
A praise
yes.
break.
Yes.
Take a praise break. Clap your hands.
Hallelujah.
If Tatiana was here, stomp your feet. Shake that head from side to side. Throw your head back. Bend over.
Amen.
But celebrate the fact that God responds to you honoring him through your finances. Stop putting that celebration on hold, talking about what God has to give me this in return. You celebrate now
right.
as an expression of faith that, Lord, I can't beat you giving, no matter how hard I try. If I commit to honoring you, you will provide for me. You will take care of me. You will ensure that there are provisions.
Right.
It may not be all that I want, but you will provide. You right. will take care, because you're my source. Take a celebratory moment right now
Hallelujah.
And thank God for his provisions. Watch this in advance. advance.
Yes.
Praise him as if the pandemic situation is over and you already got not just your job back, but you got a better job.
Oh,
you got
yeah.
better pay. You got better benefits. You got better insurance. The job, the new job is closer to your house. The job told you now
yes.
you can work 3 days from home, 2 days from home. This is where we become deceived. We always think the provisions in return must be financial. And
okay.
that's not the case.
That's right.
He just simply says, I'm going to bless you in return. Provisions may not always be financial. And I close with this. One of the testimonies I hold so dear to my heart, I've said it before, but it helps me in my counsel to others, that we had, well, Crystal, when she was pregnant, you know, with each of our kids, it was considered high risk. But she has one of the greatest bosses, not only at church, because I'm a boss here, but she does have one of the greatest bosses in ministry. And so, but Suzanne at the Concourse Athletic Club, it just made sure during each pregnancy that she had what she needed since she couldn't come in, allowed her to work from home and made provisions for her to work from home. And the reason I highlight that is because the flexibility that was given to her during those times was just extraordinary. And sometimes you can look for just a job that pays more, but is inflexible to your seasons of life.
That's good. That's good.
And so you're working, but you're stressed. And stress during her pregnancies would not have been good. And so that job God provided for us by giving her a boss in a job that was so sensitive, so flexible, so accommodating, that I try to tell people, don't take a job just based upon the dollar sign.
Right, right.
That's not good. Because what good is it to have the money, but you hate the place you're going to work?
Mm.
And she was just so accommodating. So we celebrated and celebrate to this day the fact that in that season, man, God, look how you provided. Look at how you provided. You had us. Here is the big takeaway and the big so what. God's provisions follow God's priorities. God's provisions follows
Amen.
God's priorities. When I honor him first, he's going to show himself faithful.
Amen.
And he's going to release overflowing blessings. And overflow isn't just about me. Overflow is so that I can flow over into somebody else's life and be a blessing
yes,
to them.
Yes.
And your weekly challenge is this. I want you to read Matthew 6 every day. And then I want this week, if you don't have one, but if you do have one, commit to it. But I want you to create and commit a financial plan or a budget. Now, watch this. Don't be too prideful to ask for help in creating a budget. If you need help creating a budget, if you need help formulating a budget, don't be too prideful. I know behind the scenes, a great financial class. I think Tracy is working on being able to provide a class in the future. I'm not going to put a date on it, but in the future, Tracy Braswell is going to be good. In the future, is looking to provide some teaching in that area. And then the third challenge is this. Engage in the spiritual discipline or habit of tithing and giving. Engage. Listen. There are many of you who are saying, you know what, I tithe, but I tithe inconsistently. But I want to be a better tither and more consistent tither. You just got to engage.
Okay.
A feeling ain't going to come to tithe. It just won't. You just have to do it.
Right.
Now, again, we are very sensitive to this situations that we're in with the pandemic environment. But we can tell you from experience, by being a couple, even before we got married, by being singles who were committed to honoring God through our finances, we see the faithfulness of God.
Yeah.
We see the faithfulness of God. Tithing is 10% of any and all of our income, and giving is anything over and above our tithes.
Yes, and actually I love the comments that are coming by, so keep them coming. Melinda Simmons,
uh-huh.
one of our directors over Family Life, mentions married couples do it together. So this is a good time as married couples for us to come together and look at our financial picture, look at our financial future, look at where our heart is as a family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where is our heart as a family? Where are we placing our treasures? How are we trusting God with our treasures?
Yes.
You know, how are we doing that? And so as a couple, let's believe God to be able to come and get on the same page. I know about you, just, you know, I've been, my words in this season are real talk. So I'll just say, you know, hun, real talk. And that means I'm going to say something that he may or may not like. But real talk in this season, you know, is sometimes we get comfortable and we get used to existing in mm-hmm. silos, even as a married couple. Yeah. And so this is a time to kind of say, you know what, we're not going to allow that to happen. And yes. we are going to bring in this area, in every area, we're going to come together and believe God to bring peace and unity
yes.
and put us on the same page financially and spiritually in the direction which our family is.
Yes, going. Yes. And so married couples do it together. And again, if you need some help, just ask for help. We want to see you win in this season.
Right.
We want to see you thrive. And sometimes it starts with just saying, help.
Right.
How can someone help me get things together financially? And let that be your starting point and go from there. And so we really, 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 really just want to encourage you during this time of figuring out your finances, make God the priority.
That's right.
Make God the priority. Through honoring him with your giving, your tithing. And again, we're not doing this to get anything. You know, I think personally myself, an expression of faith isn't trying to have service during this time to prove something. I think an expression of faith is saying we choose your safety and your well-being over just coming to church to do an offering and trying to manipulate, force, you know, gimmicky. Like, nah. And we're going to believe God to provide. By us not meeting together. And so, and I know you guys at DLC have been so faithful over the years. You guys know we ain't into games and gimmick and stuff. Because at the end of the day, it's a heart issue. And so, love you guys. Appreciate you. Before we leave, though, if I talk about finances in the context of eternity, here's how we say it. What does it profit a person to gain the whole world and then lose their soul? I don't want anybody to disconnect right now because I'm going to give a couple of prayers. We just pray this week they will see your faithfulness and fruitfulness like never before.
Yes.
We pray for every person who's going to start tithing because of this message, because they want to honor you.
Yes.
We pray, oh God, that in times of temptation that they will remember that they can't beat you giving. We pray for every person who's going to return to tithing, who's been inconsistent.
Yes.
We pray right now that you would keep them encouraged, remove any shame or guilt, and as they start afresh and new, bless them. And we thank you for every person who's always been a consistent tither. Bless them also. Lord, we just release your blessings. We love you. Cover our kids. Heal every person that has any symptoms of not only just coronavirus, but any disease, any infection. Heal every person. Strengthen every message. But most of all, show your provisions in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. We love you guys from our heart to her heart. To everybody's heart, we love you. Be blessed. Have a great day.